afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Afternoon delight.
What to say, what to say, what to say.
Hour number three on a Thursday. Hope you're having a good one. Welcome to March. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing. Also, our man Brian is here training and getting ready. He's going to be producing for us some next week, so we appreciate him being here today as well, doing great work. And we are going to go to the Vaqueros hotline right now and talk some NFL Combine with Alex Dunlap, OrangeBloods.com, RosterWatch.com. He's at Alex Dunlap NFL on Twitter. If you're not following him, start following him, especially if you're a football nerd. Alex, how are you?
Yo, Chad, what's going on, brother? Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Hey, man, we always love talking football with you. So I know the workouts get going tomorrow, but what have you been able to, like, what's good for you in terms of finding things out? What do you get to find out at the Combine before tomorrow morning and the workouts start? What's big for you before the workouts?
Well, I mean, what's big for my job over at Orange Bloods was getting the interviews with Chris Warren and with Connor Williams today. Both those guys met with the national media for the first time, in their careers, and probably the first of many, I'd imagine. So as far as that's concerned, as far as what we do over at Roster Watch, and as we were coming in, I should mention, if you guys are interested in like any of my football kind of takes outside the Texas Longhorns and more the NFL, you guys should follow us at Roster Watch, because that's where there's a whole lot more Twitter activities going on right now. But as far as what we're doing there, it's just, over the course of these last 2 days, we've gotten to basically address every NFL head coach and GM. We still have a few more tomorrow, but just a lot of takeaways as far as, what we're always probing for is intelligence for our fantasy football leagues next year and what we should be thinking about some of these players and projecting volumes and timeshares and workload splits or who teams could be targeting in the draft for those positions. And so it's just been a really, like, as always, man, it's been, I always say that coming up to this combine is like the best bang for your buck if you're somebody who covers football, because you not only get all these amazing prospects, but you also get access to every team and their executives and their coaches and all the rest. So It's been as usual, just a treasure trove of information on a whole variety of subjects.
Cool. We talked about the bench press rep, Alex, and it looks like Connor Williams did pretty well. Quentin Nelson killed it, and Orlando Brown only with 14, not that good.
Yeah, dude.
How much can that help or hurt you with scouts?
Orlando Brown, it's going to hurt him, man. 14's no – Christian McCaffrey, I think, did more than that.
Shorter arms, Alex.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. I understand. The whole deal with the short arms. But you look at Quentin Nelson. I believe his arms came in at 36 inches, close to 36 inches, and he did 35 of those. 14 is unacceptable. That goes to show that you are not prepared for this event. You are. I think later what we'll find out is that probably Orlando Brown's agent will spin this that maybe he got injured or something during that event, because it's just, I think that hurts, man. And the combine is the underwear Olympics crowd, right? Like what those guys are going to say is like, the bench press doesn't measure functional strength. And when are you going to be ever using those particular muscles on a football field to make your punch or to, press a man off of you or to, functionally, like the muscles that you use in the bench press really aren't the same. And it's not really the same explosive, burst from your body in the bench press that you use as you use when you're, kicking back into your slide and you're getting your, and you're bringing your hips through you and you're punching it and you're punching into a, you're punching into a man's chest and you're keeping your elbows inside using your, using your triceps and your lats and you're bringing all that weight through your hips and stuff. It's almost like the power clean would be a better test of, your functional strength as an offensive lineman. But even with that said, man, 14.
Yeah.
That just go. I don't care how long you're on. Like, it just goes to show that you weren't ready to. You didn't come prepared. And it reminds me a ton of Chad's boy, Demontre Moore. And whenever he came in, and, you know, he was such a menace, you know, coming out of A&M. And we've seen he hasn't done anything at the NFL level. And one of the first warning signs would have been that he was pathetic and puny in this testing. And, you know, you don't necessarily come here to test to show that these attributes are going to functionally help you with the game of football. A lot of it is just showing these scouts that you can come prepared and ready to kick ass at whatever it is that you do. And he certainly didn't kick ass today.
So in terms of give us some thoughts on a couple of these quarterbacks. Obviously, that's going to be a big part of Saturday as they get going. From the national quarterback perspective, where are you on these four guys? And if you want to put Lamar Jackson in there, five guys right now. Do you love any of them going into the workouts?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be very interested to see because, you know, I'm lucky enough to be one of only about 20 to 30 members of the media that gets to watch the quarterback wide receiver drills there from live inside of Lucas Oil. And I've gotten to – this will be my eighth year doing it. And so I feel like by now I'll have a pretty good back catalog of others that I can, you know, go back and compare my notes.
Perspective.
I know that I loved Baker Mayfield at the Senior Bowl. I thought that he was the much better prospect than Josh Allen. I know a lot of people have fallen in love with Josh Allen's upside because of his arm, because of his size, because of his launch point, just because of the way that he projects as a possible, you know, future NFL prototype quarterback. But I just think that guy's too inaccurate. He's too inconsistent. I saw it on his college film, and I just saw it too much through the week of the Senior Bowl. So, I mean, if we're talking about a top four, I cast Josh Allen right out of that thing, and Lamar Jackson is squarely in that one for me. I love Lamar Jackson. I think that he is destined to be a superstar in the National Football League. I think that with the way that the NFL is moving and transitioning more to a lot of these read concepts and more of these spread concepts, like easier college concepts, you know, not even necessarily easier, but just marrying some of these college concepts with like the West Coast concepts that we've seen, you know, predominantly with the Eagles this year, but like with other teams. And this is a copycat league and things are going to continue to go that way. I'm really interested to see what Lamar Jackson runs in his 40. I'm interested to see how he throws and how he looks throwing to these wide receivers in drills. And yeah, just super excited to see him. I think that the guy, though, who's probably not gotten, you know, we know that Sam Darnold's not going to throw, which is disappointing, especially for me, because we're going to have to take budget out at Roster Watch and send somebody out there to go film that pro day. I would have rather we could see him here. As far as Josh Rosen, I think he's a guy who nobody's really talked much about because, you know, all the buzz of the Senior Bowl was about Josh Allen, was about Baker Mayfield. I feel like maybe it just seems like, as far as from a narrative standpoint, it's kind of time for Josh Rosen to get a little bit of buzz. So I think that people are going to be watching him very closely. And, you know, he's certainly a player that, you know, if you watch the film, he checks a whole lot of boxes. And so I think that considering the fact that he's sort of the one who will be a little bit new and a little bit more novel than the Josh Allen and the Baker Mayfield, who a lot of the draft media have seen a lot of over the course of the last month, maybe we'll hear some buzz out of coming out of here that people are kind of talking about Josh Rosen if he does have a good day here on Saturday.
Alex, Dallas at 19, I'm kind of curious who's going to be available for them. What do you think, Dallas? How is Dallas looking at this? I mean, is there any possibility of thinking about trading up before the draft? And who are some of the people that they should be looking at that could be available?
As far as Dallas, it's hard to tell. I don't think that they're going to be interested in trading up. Not in this one. I feel like, you know, and I know what some people. I know that they're not going to be interested in trading up because I feel like they think that there are about 25 guys that they have first round grades on.
Gotcha.
And so I think that what's going to happen is it's really, you know, we can talk about positional needs all day, but with Dallas having a new analytics department, with them starting to depend a little bit more on that, as we've seen as the trend across the whole NFL, I honestly think at that point in time, since they're picking at 19, since I think they have about 25 guys on the board that they have first-round grades on, and you hear that from a lot of teams. We have 20 guys, you know, to 25 guys we have these first-round grades on, then a little bit of a drop-off after that. I think it's more along the lines of, you know, if we get there, who's left, and then, you know, out of the five or six guys that we select first-round grades on, which one fits our positional needs with the, you know, which one is that a position of, like, the greatest position of need. And so I think, you know, as you go through that scenario, I think that there's probably, I think that there's a ton of ways we could go, a lot of guys they could consider. But, long story short, I think it's more likely that they trade way down than they trade up.
Gotcha.
Interesting. Alex, before we let you go, tomorrow, in addition to Connor Williams and the offensive lineman, you'll get a look at running backs. Talk to me about Saquon Barkley. I see him up towards the top of every mock I'm looking at. Project him right now before you get a look at the workout. But what kind of pro do you think Saquon Barkley can be?
And I can do this real quick.
Yeah, exactly. Well, 5 seconds, Alex. 5 seconds.
I mean, he's the best I've ever seen. And,
whoa.
I don't take that like lightly saying that. And I think that Darius Geis from LSU is right up there. I mean, it's an elite. It's a special running back class this year. If Saquon Barkley can just fix a couple small things, you know, there's so little. You know what? There's so little to nitpick about his game, but I'm not even going to do it. He's amazing. He's amazing. He should be the number – him or Quentin Nelson, who's just honestly probably the best guard that I've ever seen also. Like, one of those guys should – if everything was right in the world, you know, guys should be the first pick in the draft just because they're just such an amazing generational prospect.
So, Alex, let me make sure I'm clear here. You're saying he's the best running back prospect you've seen while covering the draft and combine?
Yeah, for the last 8 years that I've been doing this, he's better than Leonard Fournette. He's better than Ezekiel Elliott. I hate to say it, but he's better than Todd Gurley. He's the best.
Wow.
Okay, so for all the texters, Barry Sanders, Ricky Williams, Earl, easy. Alex is talking about the last 8 years.
I've been doing this as a professional for 8 years.
8 years.
He's the best yet.
8 years. He did not say he was better.
Trying to save you, Alex.
Did not say he was better than Earl or Ricky, Longhorn fans.
Much appreciated.
There you go. Alex Dunlap. Check out orangebloods.com. Check out rosterwatch.com, at Alex Dunlap NFL, and like he said, at rosterwatch on Twitter if you want to follow along with what's about to happen at the Combine. Alex, enjoy your time. We'll check in with you after you get home and see what you saw.
Yes, sir. Kevin, Chad, thanks so much for having me, as always.
Thanks, Alex. You're the man.
Good stuff. Alex Dunlap. He says there's not a group of five quarterbacks, but he takes Josh Allen out of that group and calls the consistency into it, and he loves Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I really trust Alex, just his eyes and his knowledge on it. But then you start to, like he said, add the catalog or the historical perspective where I've seen this 8 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
The first time you see anything live, it's hard to – it's why Brad's having a hard time. Brad can't compare 90 UNLV.
Right.
Or
yeah.
The Fab Five.
Yeah, that's why like when you
– you know, I mean, right. And I even had problems in the 90s saying this is really good stuff. Well, late 70s, early 80s was probably the height of college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say from 74 to about – 95, 96.
Yeah, the perspective is huge because I come in here all the time and I'll ask you, like, hey, did you see that game last night? Like, what if this team – I asked you the other day about Kansas, Texas, right? What if the best Kansas team you've ever seen played Texas or that Kansas team for that matter?
It would have been ugly.
But a guy like – I always think of guys like Gil Brandt, you know, when you get to the combine time, those old school, the Dick LeBeaus of the world that have seen so much NFL. and to get their perspective on guys like Saquon Barkley and Quentin Nelson and how they stack up, because they've really seen everything. Alex is working on 8 straight years of being able to see this, and that's impressive. In the time he's been covering it, he's saying Saquon Barkley is the best running back prospect that he has seen. We'll see if he thinks the same way after seeing the workouts tomorrow. Saquon will be part of it tomorrow morning. They start at like 7 o'clock on NFL Network.
He does so many different things, and it is such a bright football player. Jeez, his football IQ is off the charts. He's one of those guys, a Marshall Faulk. Ricky was like this to some degree. He knows what all 11 guys should be doing.
It's important.
It's important, and just understanding the overall flow, too. He's a great receiver. He obviously can do special teams. I just don't know how big of an impact back he'll be with current-day NFL. My guesses will be okay, because I think they're going to use him a lot like you use a McCaffrey.
I just pray he doesn't end up in Cleveland, but they got 2 picks early.
They got 2 picks early. It would make sense. But there are some teams. I mean, I would think that your Bucks are praying they get a shot at him. Were you guys 7?
7. Oh, my God. If the Bucks would knock people over taking Saquon Barkley if he got to 7.
Look, when you got a healthy feeder system and you got Alex saying that the Dallas Cowboys, I wonder how many NBA teams, if you're really talking about first round, because when they said they have 25 first round picks, they're talking about all time, because you can still actually balance it against 20 years ago. In basketball, you can't. In basketball, 1990, current day, how many of these guys are draft picks? I don't know, 1, 2, 3?
And that's the whole draft?
That's the whole, well, if you want to compare it, that's the comparison that basketball people have completely forgotten.
Speaking of basketball, that FBI probe story in college basketball continues.
Can you tell I'm happy with this sport?
I can tell you're thrilled. I'm trying to calm you down because you're just blowing smoke on college basketball.
Well,
right now.
I just got on it 2 days ago. So yes. As I told Scipio, he was like, you know, college basketball is dead. I said, yeah, I've been next to the fire for 2 decades screaming.
You were in the
Pardon me if I enjoy everyone looking at the glows now.
You were in the hospital with paddles years ago.
Years
ago. Is anybody
ago.
Ready? No?
Right, which is also why I don't care about the body anymore. I can be as literally, I'm like a mortician talking about this, aren't I?
You kind of are, yeah. Speaking of that body.
You've been talking about your team? Oh, yeah, it's been dead.
Speaking of that body of college basketball, the update with the Sean Miller story coming up, plus the rest of the Big 3, voicemails and crap bag coming down the line. This is The Horn. Rolling through a Thursday. Remember, April 13th and 14th is Horn Bash, the Horn's ultimate listener weekend, presented by Reliable Automotive. Viking Fence has jumped on board. They're going to sponsor Barbecue Row out there.
I saw that. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Jimmy. Can't wait to have you out there.
Yeah, you and Casey Studdard out there. We got the poker tournament going on. Thanks to Texas Card House for being a part of that. Looking for the best amateur pit master and smoking team, not a pro event for all you pro barbecuers out there. Looking for the best poker player, because you got the poker tournament going on, washer pitching event, the golf sharpshooting event, and on Saturday we'll do Horn Bash Live. I think it's like 3 o'clock on the 14th. We'll all be up on stage just telling stories and having fun and answering your questions if you have any. And
cool.
We want to do this for the listeners to thank you for supporting the station. So clear the calendar and plan to be with us down there at Buck's Backyard April 13th and 14th.
And the poker tournament, people have asked me, that is for real money. This isn't one of those.
I believe that is true, yes.
Parties where they've got fake chips.
Yeah, we'll get you all the details. The details are still coming, and as soon as we can tell you specific things, we'll be able to. I'm not sure, but I know there's a lot of prizes going to be up for grabs and different raffles and cool stuff like that, live music. And if you have not seen Buck's Backyard, it is a big old spread out.
It's really nice.
Incredible place.
And tons of space.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's get you the Big 3 here and see if we can catch you up with the world of sports and, you know, all that stuff.
The Big 3.
All right, since we were just, maybe sponsor. We have a sponsor here? No? All right. Okay, we'll figure that out. I'll tell you what, I'll start it off.
We can play it later.
We'll get it for you. We were just talking about Saquon Barkley. So Saquon was asked about possibly going to Cleveland. How about this for a good answer? He said it would be awesome if Cleveland made him a pick. Quote, "That's awesome. Something bigger than you. You go to a team like that. Obviously, they've had some rough years, but I think they're a couple pieces away. They do have a lot of young talent, new offensive coordinator. You'll want to be part of something like that. That's something bigger than yourself. That's something you leave a legacy of being part of something special."
I love this young guy. And I really have it at Penn State. Joe Moorhead, their offensive coordinator, who's now at, where's he at? Mississippi State.
Yep.
He had a quote about Saquon saying, "As talented and as versatile as he is, and trust me, he's really talented and really versatile, he's a better guy, and he doesn't smell or eat his own crap." That he's at this point where he's one of those rare phenoms that also has a really good head and a really good perspective. I use that word a lot on not only football, but life. I was sold. I already was, but it just was, took me over the top. Whenever, after they lost this year, I forgot who they lost to, and then they're playing some other Big Ten team, and they found out that team lost, like an Ohio State lost, and they're playing Michigan. I forgot what it was. And so all of a sudden, this game became kind of de facto Big Ten championship. And as he was sprinting down the field with like 5 minutes to go in the game, he's walking back with the DB, or it's actually his third quarter. He already found out, walking back with the DB, and he said, "Hey, did you hear? It's pretty cool, isn't it?" There's
an awareness there.
An awareness, yeah. A competitive nature. I feel like he likes sports, like truly loves it, not just because he's going to get paid, which is refreshing.
Yeah, that's incredible. And to use the Greg Popovich question we talked about, maybe he's already over himself.
That'd be
big.
Or maybe he was never that into himself.
Yep. Tomorrow morning, running backs and offensive linemen will work out at the combine.
Because that's important, that last one I said. I think you want to make sure you were into yourself to make sure you're over yourself if you're someone like San Antonio. Do they get Kawhi too early? He hadn't gotten into himself yet?
He hadn't gotten in there yet? Yeah, you're right.
I was a senior at San Diego State.
That's a good point. Good point. All right, right in the middle of the Big Three here, and we do have a sponsor.
The Big Three is brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty. Any make, any model. Click AppleLeasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right, we do have a college basketball score for you. They started the Big Ten tournament already. Michigan beat Iowa today in a close one, 77-71 in overtime. Tonight, if you want to check out Wichita State, they're at UCF on ESPN at 6. The number one team in America plays tonight.
That's, who is that?
That is Virginia.
Okay.
They're sticking at Louisville, 7 o'clock. That is on ACC Network, which for us locally is KBVO. If you get that station, that's 7 for you Spectrum folks like Kevin and myself. Number 10, Cincinnati at Tulane tonight on ESPN. And then Stanford at Arizona, complete with Sean Miller. He holds a press conference today. He denies the ESPN story, says there was never a conversation about DeAndre Ayton. And he feels like he's been defamed, and DeAndre Ayton has been defamed.
These guys have no shame.
And the Board of Trustees did meet today on his contract. Arizona, it sounds like Arizona.
We would have heard something by now, right?
Is going to double down on Sean Miller. They're supporting him, just like I could argue Duke is doing the same with Coach K, and Michigan State's doing the same with Tom Izzo. They are moving forward, and Sean Miller's coaching tonight.
Yeah, I just hope as many of the snakes get nailed as possible. Because we all know it's there. This is not a tough one to investigate if you've been watching at all. We've got something on them. You just don't know what it is.
One other quick story.
But I hope they get away.
One other quick story to keep your mind on if you believe in the power of positive thought. Jim Kelly needs some more of your positive thought.
All that.
His cancer has come back. The oral cancer that he fought and beat has now returned. So he's going to now go into more treatment. And certainly, wish Jim and his family the best. They were tweeting out pictures and comments and everything, and the whole hashtag Kelly Strong. They've done some amazing things in the Buffalo area with their energy and the energy they've gotten from all the fans. And I know those fans are going to jump in and help Jim to get through this. So just wish him the best, man. People say it all the time, but there's plenty of things that suck about cancer. But this is the kind of thing that really sucks. Like, you had it, you fought it, you beat it, it should be gone.
Right.
You should actually get credit for that in terms of, okay, now you don't have to deal with it anymore. Sometimes that's just not the way it is. So obviously thinking of Jim Kelly moving forward.
Yeah, I saw his daughter posting some stuff, and his daughters and his family have just been really, really supportive, but also kind of showing the process. And it's like Chad said or alluded to, it's been too long of a process. So yeah, that's always something you worry about with the cancer of the return. For me, it was that first year was really big, and we thought it had returned. So I know what that feels like. That it sucks. It's like, yeah, I just got over this, man. Am I really right. have to go through this again? And at that point, what it felt like was, okay, this is gonna be my life. I'm gonna need to put my head around it. And thank God it wasn't.
And the important thing too of the willingness of famous folks to be able to tell their stories,
right.
I think that helps everybody else. I think that's one.
I would hope so. I don't know.
It's one situation.
I mean, I would think, yeah.
Right. It's one situation where I think fame is, this is a good way to use your fame. When they use the fame to say, I'll let you go through this with me because I know that some of you go through it.
Right.
And Buffalo Bills fans, you know, there's some kid out there. There's a 10-year-old.
Oh, that. Absolutely. I know that will strengthen
there's
you.
There's a 10-year-old going through cancer, and if he can watch Jim Kelly go through it, it's different. It becomes a little different for him if somebody that he idolizes or his family idolizes is going through it too.
Yeah, and you have a lot of questions and a lot of questions about the chemo and what the process is going to be like, and if you have similar types, then obviously there's even more questions about your life and moving forward. But I think the biggest thing for me was to talk to someone who had been through it, because I didn't think I was going to get BS'd, you know?
Bro, oh, yeah, I would imagine, right?
And doctors or even family that's reading about it could try and couch it or put a cushion on it. And I don't like to roll like that in anything in life. Definitely not on something that serious. Let's cut all the BS here.
Yeah. You want to know the real story?
I really want to know what I'm going to be facing. I didn't want any surprises, and I didn't find any.
That's why I would imagine people that ultimately kick, like alcoholism, drug abuse, stuff like that, hearing from people that have done it means more to them than just hearing from some random doctor, family member.
I would think so, yeah.
Right, because they've actually done it. They can They can tell you what it's like. So, yeah, the Jim Kelly story takes, obviously, that unfortunate turn, but the Kelly Strong thing will definitely fire up again. All right, voicemails coming up. If you want to sneak one in, 337-3776. Also coming up, get you a little crap bag. I want to talk some college basketball because I heard a strange phrase the other day about college basketball. Also, an idea I heard about what the NBA could do about the basketball crisis. I'll see what Kevin thinks of that. Coming up on the Horn.
B&E.
Plus, I'm bringing an extra jacket for the lady with the lips and the fingers. So,
Josenia Anderson from ESPN. Lovely young lady, very talented.
And she was not dressed well, though.
She didn't have a coat.
And then she had that cut-off short to her shoulders, like no sleeves.
And you decided you would be nice and offer her your jacket.
I said, hey, Josie, you look a little cold over there.
You did not call her Josie.
No, I did not. I just went over and I offered her my jacket. I kept my hoodie. And I said, now, yo, Josie, tomorrow I need to get that gear back.
Weekdays from 6 till 10 on The Horn.
All right, this is Chad. Let's talk a little Harry's. I got done playing golf today, got home, got showered, and just before I left, I realized, oh, I think I need to shave. So I grabbed the Harry's razor, got a great shave. I know I'm getting a great price, and there's no hassles. It's so fantastic. The quality of the shave is the first thing that I noticed with Harry's. You're going to see the quality with the products, but most importantly, you'll feel the quality. You'll notice how great a shave that you're getting, and you don't have to pay too much. One big razor company's been relentlessly increasing those prices over the years, reaping the immense profits at the expense of who? Of you and me, of all the customers out there. So two ordinary guys started Harry's to fix shaving. One way to do that, the best way to get a great shave is to have incredible razor blades. And they bought a factory that had been making high quality razor blades for like 100 years. They buy the factory, so they take less profit, and they're selling those blades for just $2 a blade compared to $4 or more than you're paying at the drugstore. Seriously.
go in the drugstore next time when you're buying and consider exactly how much you're spending on razor blades when you could just order it online, get a great shave like I do, and you're going to love it. Over 3 million guys have already made this switch, so let's get you on board. Let's get one of those weighted ergonomic handles in your hand, the 5 precision engineered blades with the lubricating strip, the trimmer blade. You're going to love that trimmer blade. Get those tough areas like right there under the nose. Rich lathering shave gel, the travel blade cover. I do love Harry's, and they're so confident in the quality of the blades, they're offering you a special trial offer. You heard me right. Redeem the trial offer. It's a $13 value, all yours, when you sign up. You'll love the shave plan. Tell them what you want, how often you want it, and then you are set. And as a special offer for fans of the show, you go to harrys.com right now, enter the code CHADH at checkout, and it'll get you a post-shave balm also for free. That was my last step today. Put the post-shave balm on after the shave. Feels great. Harrys.com, HARRYS.com. The code is Chad H.
Some other banks offer you a promotional savings rate, then they drop it just a few months later. Don't fall for it. Open an account with Capital One and get one of the nation's best savings rates that's not a promotional rate. Plus, you can open an account in just 5 minutes online or at a Capital One location. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2017 Capital One.
Steve, it's been 2 months since you ordered shampoo and shaving cream. Shall I take care of them?
Thanks, Alexis. I've had a lot on my mind. I'm going to propose to Jill. Where's the best place to buy an engagement ring?
Diamonds Direct, of course. Just listen to this. The announcer's a friend of mine.
Finding the perfect ring is easy at Diamonds Direct. It starts with a virtually unlimited selection of hand-picked certified diamonds straight from the diamond cutters. No middleman, no compromise. And to show off that beautiful diamond, we have over 4,000 rings to choose from. Handcrafted rings from world-class designers. And we top it off with a free lifetime warranty. So you can shop with total confidence. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
That's great. Thanks, Alexis. Wait, all you voices know each other?
I think he may be going to Diamonds Direct for me. Need me to order everything before my big date?
Diamonds Direct. Recommended by smart devices and smart people everywhere. At the Domain beside Dick's Sporting Goods.
At AT&T, we believe that access to affordable home internet brings you incredible opportunities. You can enjoy the power to explore a digital world of possibilities and connect with family, friends, and the things that matter most. That's why there's access from AT&T. If a member of your household is a SNAP participant, you may qualify for home internet at a discounted rate of $10 a month. No commitment, no deposit, no installation fee. Plus, get an in-home Wi-Fi gateway at no extra cost. Call 1-855-220-5211 or visit att.com/aware to learn more.
SNAP refers to the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Pricing excludes tax. Service will include a monthly data allowance depending on the type and speed of service you receive. If you exceed your monthly data plan allowance, you will be automatically charged $10 for each 50 gigabytes of data usage in excess of your data plan, even if less than 50 gigabytes is used. For details about data allowances, go to att.com/internet-usage. Wi-Fi enabled device required. Other restrictions apply.
Have fallen and time has turned the granite stone to sand, we will still stand humbled before him. He is Jimmy Johnson, 7-time Cup Series champion, 7-time Texas winner. See him in person at the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 on Sunday, April 8th. The first 30,000 fans receive a Jimmy Johnson bobblehead presented by Blue Bunny Ice Cream. Plus, it's a Texas twofer. Two tickets and more for as low as $99. Details at TexasMotorSpeedway.com.
The Horns text line is brought to you by Specs, your tailgating headquarters with a Texas size selection of lower priced everything. Cheers to savings.
Hope you're having a good Thursday. We have started March, everybody. March 1st. Obviously, a lot of basketball on the board. Some football as well. Combine stuff got going today. If you missed it earlier, Connor Williams, 26 reps on the bench. Nice number there. The Notre Dame guys Yeah, they're both pretty good. It's 27 for McGlinchey and Mr. Quentin Nelson, 35 reps on the bench for a guard. That is big stuff.
Come in every Monday, and I would last a couple years and say, Chad, these two guys are going to be first-round picks. Kevin, I know you like the left side of your Notre Dame offensive line, but one side of a line, come on.
They're incredible.
They're
I loved watching them.
And no, I'm with Alex. I've said for most of the year, I think Quentin Nelson's the best football player in this draft, or at least surefire is going to be
miss.
Pro Bowler.
The big can't miss.
Right, he's going
right.
to be. I knew Zach Martin wasn't going to be a miss for y'all.
Right.
Double it.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. 35 reps for Quentin Nelson, but Will Hernandez, the kid from UTEP, 37 reps. This kid is making himself money.
Exactly what I was thinking about. Ching, ching, ching.
Wow.
While Orlando Brown is still going to be okay.
He'll be okay, but 14 reps today, there'll be a lot of questions coming off of that. Guys are going to rush back to his tape and try to figure out what in the world did they miss something? Are they what am I looking for? Because 14 reps, that's not where you need to be.
And if you go back to his to last year's tape, especially in the year before, Orlando to me was soft at times, was easy to beat off the edge if you had a true edge rusher.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there was just a little tubbiness to him at 6'8 with that frame.
Yes. I agree with you. I think that leads right into the tie-in. You can say, well, how in the world could just the rep thing tell you that much? Because I remember watching him in the Texas OU game, and he disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
In the biggest game of his year, against the biggest rival, I could tell you that it was like, at the end of the game, I'm like, did he play? Did Orlando? He was there, I think.
Yeah.
And that could lead you to what Alex Dunlap was talking about, work ethic. Does he care enough to show up to the combine to be a badass? Obviously, he did not.
I don't think there's a great offensive tackle in this draft. Sorry.
Hmm.
I think there are some good ones.
Yeah.
I think Connor Williams and McGlinchey could be good. But I've seen faults with all three of them. And I've watched two of them a lot, and the other one I watch a ton too. I watch Oklahoma a bunch.
All right, before we get you the crap bag, how about a little voicemail check here? I'm told we have two of these, 337-3776. How about voicemail number one?
Yeah, the last time the Aggies won a title was right before World War II. Does this mean that we're about to have World War III?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. There's a perspective I hadn't thought of.
Hold on. I'm just trying to weigh what would have a better chance of happening.
Oh, my God.
World War III or the Aggies winning a national championship?
All right, all right.
Well, if you really think about it.
Good grief. How about voicemail number two?
KD, my man, thank you for acknowledging that James Harden pushed off. It was not the greatest crossover of all time. It's probably the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen on the basketball court. But you cannot dip your shoulder and extend your off arm to create space. Come on, man. Cut it out.
Yeah, I love Harden's game, and I have going back to Arizona State. I thought he would be a really, really damn good pro at Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
Did I see this? No. I didn't think he'd be going in his way to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
But it's call it like you see it. My problem is, though, that I just see more stuff on CBS, ESPN, Twitter, of people that cover the sport for a living that come off as very 11-year-old fanboy. Oh, did you see the... And then I get on and watch it, and I go, well, that was a really good dunk by Jared Allen. Did you watch him against Dwight Howard a couple nights before? Because I don't think you're helping with the overall argument of are these guys ready or not when you go fanboy when someone dunks.
Probably fair. All right, thank you for the voicemails, as always. Let's jump into the crap bag. We'll keep talking basketball here. I got some thoughts.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
And he was dunking against Chicago, who is babysitting too right now, because they're sitting all their vets,
yeah,
and they're
true.
Trying to tank. So he dunked on, I believe, Lauri Markkanen, who's had a really good year, but I've had deuces that are harder than him the last couple weeks. It's been one of those weeks, though.
Do you see that Adam Silver is now threatening? He's like re-threatened all the teams about tanking. He sent out a message to kind of further explain the $600,000 for Cuban by saying, "We don't want you to do this. This can't happen in our league.
But you can't be flagrant."
Right.
That was for the point, wasn't it?
Yeah. He basically said, "Look, if you're resetting your lineups and your organization, and you've got a plan that might be a 2 or 3 year plan, that's one thing. That's sports. But don't." You can't go that far. We can't have our players and coaches thinking, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to lose every night. You can't do that.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, you can't do it.
I'm with you. And they're trying to curb that. I do think they have some legislation that will help with that. The problem, though, is that there's so many teams trying to tank.
Yep.
Because kind of like people want to talk about with our economy, we're losing the middle class.
So, the other day I saw a stat. I think it was the bottom nine teams in the NBA at that moment going into that night's games were like they'd combined lost 40-something games in a row. If you combined all their losing streaks, It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So getting right to that and kind of the basketball and the issue and stuff we always talk about, I was listening to Seth Greenberg the other day talk about what do you do?
Why were you doing that?
Because I wanted to hear what he had to say.
Well, why would you want to hear what he wants to say? He's already been shown to be a complete liar on all this.
But he's a former coach, and he's a guy that's...
My point.
Right, former coach, and I wanted to hear what he had to say in terms of where this thing goes. So he was talking about the idea of, whether it's paying players or whether it's let them have their likenesses or whatever. And he talked about marketable players, and he said, let's be honest. How many marketable players...
Hold on. Let me just picture Seth Greenberg saying that.
Yeah.
Okay,
He said, honestly, how many marketable players do you think there would be? And he turns to the ESPN host, and I can't remember who it was. And they responded with, oh, yeah, I guess maybe not many. And I thought...
This year, two or three.
And I thought, not many? So this is my argument. Maybe this will
College football, how many would you have?
Well, you'd have a few, but my...
You'd have a lot more.
Okay, here's my argument, though. What are we at Division I college basketball? 315? 300 and whatever teams?
24.
Something like that? My argument would be that there's at least that many. You're telling me the best player on a college basketball team isn't marketable in his college town?
Oh, I got you.
On a local...
I was talking on a national level right now for the average person who doesn't really watch college basketball anymore. There may be two or three that they know about. Trae Young, Ayton and Bamba, maybe.
But he was thinking about it in those terms, national terms. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, Seth, that's not what marketable necessarily means. It doesn't have to be, can he get a McDonald's deal?
Right.
But, I mean, could Mo...
Can he get some scratch in his hometown?
Can Mo Bamba get a little love in Austin and maybe get some kind of a...
You realize you're asking for what Paul was talking about yesterday, the whole wink-wink, Sam Ellinger having his podcast and a lot of Texas alums for $10 a month, go ahead and sign up. I mean, and like Paul said, maybe that's the way to go. And a lot of my libertarian streak says, yes, it is the way to go. But I also know, and I get on the whole slippery slope thing, that is a slippery slope. You don't think that's going to open up to complete corruption with businesses inside those small towns that we talk about?
Right, but ultimately it opens up, you open up the market. If it's going on...
I get you. I get that point.
I'm all about take it from under the table and let's put it on the table and see what it is. Because ultimately, if you want to tell me, well, this guy could end up with a deal at a car dealership, I'd say so.
Right.
And this guy ends up with, he's a big video gamer, and a video game store says, hey man, you want to be a sponsor of ours, we'll get you free games and we'll get you a little scratch. I have no problem with that.
If you come and game every Saturday during the off season for 3 hours, we'll get you some freebies.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you could open up the market. Plus, when we always talk about these other sports, you're telling me at Texas or Stanford or Nebraska that volleyball players couldn't find a way to make a little money off of sponsorships? On some level?
On some level, yeah.
There will be some interest somewhere. There are pockets of interest. There's a company here.
I know, but those pockets are bigger than you're thinking of.
There's a client there.
Like, you do realize that with recruiting these players, that's going to change the game. And it's only going to help a school like Texas. The people that have been fighting paying the players and really fighting the change for all this time, you know who they are? It's the have-nots. It's not the Power Five. Now, there may be some in the Power Five that are fighting that, but it's the mid-majors that don't want it to go that way. Which is why, if you move forward, there needs to be a true separation between those two, Power Five and the little boys.
But the little boys and the mid-majors, what my argument would be, don't the best two players at Butler have a chance to make some money at Butler?
We're not talking about
Butler
here. We're talking about Middle Tennessee State.
Okay, but even in that college town,
talking about
whatever it is,
La Ferrava,
there are people that
which is a great school.
There are people that care about all these institutions. Instead of doing all the under the table crap with these boosters, let them become part of the process and let this thing.
Because Butler's paying you.
Create an open market.
Yeah.
Create a market out there and let them. If your likeness gets you something, let it happen.
Yeah, dude, you're preaching to the choir. I mean, I'm in complete agreement. I just don't think it's as simple as doing that. I do think in I'm not into regulations a lot. I do think there need to be some regulations on this.
Okay. And I'm sure there would be. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, you can, and I know we wouldn't be counting on the NCAA to make
right,
regulations.
Yeah.
I understand
yes.
what you're going there.
The new entity we're talking about, Will.
So the other side of things, I heard an argument the other day from Ramona Shelburne. She was talking hoops, and somebody asked her about this situation from the NBA's perspective. And she said something I guess I hadn't thought about, and I don't know that we've specifically talked about, but somebody asked her, well, what could the NCAA do? And her first gut answer was, well, the NCAA could, or excuse me, NCAA, the NBA could take control of the AAU system all the way down to, like, age 10.
I know they could, which is why I piss on the NBA and the sport of basketball all the time. They've known this is going on. They don't care. There's a lot of Madoff in basketball to me. A lot of Madoff.
But that's a relevant idea for you, in theory.
Yes, it's been relevant
right?
for 20 years. I've been screaming that with the fire, the AAU. Sorry, I've just been in this too long, and like Scipio said yesterday, you have to start at the same reality. It's almost an out-of-body experience to me that so many people are on my reality now.
Right. Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
I got you. The other day when LeBron was talking
about locked up
stuff.
In the basement for 20 years,
right.
I got out, and now I'm looking at the sun, and people are saying hi to me, and I don't know how to react to it.
Yeah, but on some level, isn't it positive to you that the discussions are at least being had, that somebody wants to talk about it now? Because for years and years, you felt like you were the only one that was seeing it. Others are at least seeing it, right?
They are. I'm pissed it's taken them so long. Yeah. I'm pissed they didn't listen to me. I'm pissed that they've let this thing turn into where I think it's too far. And I'm pissed because I don't care anymore. She's come back to me. And sweetheart, it's been 20 years. Do you really think I think about you at all? Do you think I care about you at all? I don't. I've moved on. I've got other things in life. Bye.
How often do you tell basketball the Kenny Anderson story? You just have the Kenny Anderson story loaded up, and then you just walk away? Long time ago. Long. Too long.
I'm about to say something. Anytime you hear this, you know it's bad. I haven't cared enough to give it anymore.
Oh, no. Stop caring and stop giving the Kenny Anderson story. 6 o'clock hour is coming up. The basketball stuff plus the combine got cranked up today. How many reps did Connor Williams get on the bench press? We'll let you know that number, and we will let you know the two numbers that everybody's talking about on the bench press. One very good and one not very good at all. This is The Horn.